Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Raiders, episode 541 of the show. I'm your host, Andrew, and this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows while you're there. Subscribe and tell a friend about the show. This episode, I speak with Troy. Troy is a Twitch and YouTube content creator. She has amassed a lot of individuals on her channel for YouTube. I think it's somewhere around 133,000 subs on YouTube. And she's really, really one of the things that struck me, my perception was that although her content was different as it relates to what some would consider ratchet content, I saw a business mind that was incredible. And I wanted to have a conversation with her to really get some wisdom from that and share with you. So she is an incredible human being. I had an awesome conversation with her. And Troy, thanks so much for taking the time to come and hang out with me for the time that we hung out. So that's some of the thoughts, initial thoughts there. If you guys are considering a podcast, you can check out code TSR. Once again, that's code TSR. That's all caps with Libsyn. And that will get you 1 month free. So enjoy that and enjoy the conversation with Troy. All right. So our scene is live. Oh, Troy, great. You are here.
Ooh. It feels different to not be controlling everything.
Listen, it's
what do I do?
It's very interesting just trying to get to the spot where, you know, as you know, setting up and scheduling and stuff like that. But yeah, I am so excited that you're here because a while ago you had rated me and I was very fascinated with your ability to handle you know, chat and audience and stuff like that. That could be difficult for some, but behind what I saw as you were relating to your audience was a business mind that I don't see talked about a lot. I'm not sure if you've had any other conversations as it relates to business or anything like that, or any other interviews. I couldn't find a lot of things that I found about you was related to how you interacted with your stream. But I saw, I was mm-hmm. telling my wife that there's a very wise business mind there. And I would love to have a conversation with her one of these days. And that's how we got here. So Troy, welcome to the show.
All right. Thank you for having me on. It's so awkward. I'm not controlling anything. I'm just talking. Usually I have like three monitors, monitoring chat, the game, everything else. What you're doing right now. And it's very weird for me right now.
Yeah. So walk me through that weirdness, though.
It's just, I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm usually the person who is, you know, on camera mostly. No one's talking to me unless it's my moderators on Discord and we're joking around. Nothing more formal as an interview. I did one a long time ago. And usually what you mentioned before about the business is usually done in the DMs. There's really no one who's approached me publicly. It's usually streamers talking to other streamers in the DMs, getting advice to each other. That's mostly the extent of the business that I talk about.
Okay, very interesting.
Or ask. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So take me on a journey through your life. I know I have 45 minutes to do that, to weave that, to paint that picture. So as you navigate that, I'll ask some questions in between. And then we'll get to the part where we ask about some content creation questions. You've amassed a large following between your Twitch and YouTube, from what I've gathered. I didn't see a podcast. I don't know if that's something that you're considering down the road, if it exists that I'm not aware of. But walk me through growing up.
Well, I grew up in Virginia, lived with my grandmother till I was 18. And then once I graduated high school, that same day, I hiked it to Georgia, where my mother was living. And I refused to go back to Virginia. I love Atlanta too much city life, a lot of food, a lot of diversity, especially the food and the diversity of food is what I like. I'm very food centric. You can get me to go anywhere as long as you offer me food or in free food. And I attended Georgia State University, where I got my four-year degree. I actually started at a community college, where, because I didn't get into my first choice. And like some people always have a backup. I didn't have a backup. So I went to a community college for 2 years, transferred over to complete into the four-year bachelor's, where I got my degree in journalism with a minor in English and a focus in multimedia. So that's kind of where my background in production comes from. I also volunteered at my university's broadcast station. I was in editing bay. I really wasn't fond of being on the camera at all. I didn't want to be a broadcaster. I could write broadcast text. I just didn't want to be in the camera, which is very weird too right now, where I'm always on camera, especially with streaming. But mostly my love was for editing. And during that time, my last year, I started YouTube, and where I found Sim YouTubers. I always play The Sims. I just wasn't really in the YouTube. I may watch a couple of build videos here and there, but I know it was just vast community of content creators for The Sims. And I discovered X Mirror Mirror. She was my first YouTuber that I watched. I watched her live streams on there. And then I moved gradually and found other content creators in the Black community to where I was like, hey, I want to do that. And that was 3 years ago. My brain is so shot right now. I'm 27 and I can barely remember yesterday. Whenever The Sims University, no, Sims for City Living came out is when I first started my channel, and I try to be a LPer in that narrow dream because I realize I'm not it. And here we are.
Okay, that's awesome. So can you talk about some lessons that you learned along the way as you were going through the schooling process, even some struggles between not having the first choice, as you mentioned, for the schooling stuff? Can you walk us through some of the struggles and how you, got through that?
Well, it was mainly they told me because I went on a tour and they told me that it was my math SAT score. I wasn't very good at math. I could count money, but when you start adding shapes and the alphabet into it is where you lost me, unfortunately. And so my only thing was because I was very peculiar about what other people thought. And I was like, okay, well, I have to go somewhere. And my first semester, I actually failed it because I thought I knew everything. And I lost my financial aid status, actually. I was playing video games a lot. That's where it was. I was a WoW addict, a World of Warcraft addict. I would play all the time. And so I had to build my grades back up to the point where I could safely transfer over and keep what I already done. And during that time, through that community college is where I switched from history to journalism. So I wanted to be a college professor, but then I realized how much I had to go to school for. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I can't stay in school until I get my PhD. I hate school so much. I just couldn't. So I'm a very hands-on visual learner, and sitting in a classroom taking tests gave me severe anxiety, especially test taking. I could do the work, can hand in all my assignments, but when it comes to the test, this is like me and test. We don't mix. So. That's one of the struggles there. And then again, later on, I took on so much down the road and extracurriculars is when my grades slipped again. And so I had to work on those again. But I graduated with a 3.5, I believe. 3.5, 3.6 GPA when I finally got my bachelor's. So, I mean, it all worked out in the end. 6 years, but there's no minimum or max that you can go to college. I mean, if anybody tells you that, then they're wrong, Shit happens.
Okay. So you went through the schooling process. You got the information that you needed for your next step. You started the YouTube channel. You've amassed a very, very large following. So I think when I looked at it, it was 132,000, right? plus.
Mm-hmm. Right? We are 133 now, I think.
130. Congrats, right? Congrats Thank on that. You. So walk us through the process of building that. Some lessons that you wish you knew back then, right, on building that channel for yourself or even any community, rather. We can kind of jump into that a little bit.
Well, the main thing is, like, everyone who, you know, sees content creation, you know, you watch all the big YouTubers, you had your favorites, you have your favorites, they're living the dream, they moved out to California, they're buying this, they're buying that. You think, okay, well, that looks easy, I want to do it, I want to make money. Excuse me. My community knows I like burp a lot. I'm sorry. You can like probably delete that post.
It happens. Reality show right here.
Yeah, reality. Okay, great. It's probably gonna happen a lot. And I thought it would be, you know, a quick thing. You know, post some videos, people would love them, people would subscribe, and that wasn't the case. And it took me a while to actually find what or who I am as a creator, because I was imitating a lot of people I was watching. And that used, like, people used to comment on my older videos, like, you remind me of so-and-so, you remind me of so-and-so. And I, at first I thought it was a compliment. And then later on I realized that's a bad thing, because it's like, who am I? Because I tried to actually be family friendly at one point, mm-hmm. and also very mature in the other, because I can be both. My professional career that I was going into journalism, I was very professional, very family friendly, very PG, an upright journalist, you know, what people expected you to be, what a journalist to be. And then behind that, I'm a very loud, curse like a sailor, vulgar person.
I haven't noticed at all.
If you watch my older videos, well, I'm trying not to curse up a storm here. It's like I'm at your house.
Because it's, I don't tell anybody to like change up, and it's amazing that it's like, okay, I appreciate that though. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not saying, hey, you have to be a certain way or anything like that. I'm just, you know, excited that you took the time to even have the conversation. So I'm glad about that. Right. But, yeah. But yeah, it's very interesting that I have not told anybody, in recent conversations to, you know, censor themselves. Right. And yeah. They just feel like they have to. So okay.
Yeah. We're at your house. We don't want to be disrespectful. And, a lot of us know that, you know, family friendly is what sells. And, you know, I want to make sure you, especially since we're on YouTube, YouTube will be quick to bring down the hammer, which is another conversation for a later date that I've talked about publicly a lot. But so I struggle with that a lot. And then at one point I just 360, I was just all over the place. Family friend was out the window. In recent weeks, I've actually calmed down. People who probably watch majority of my videos probably notice that I don't curse a lot. Even to this day, on my older videos, I still get comments like, stop cursing, too much cursing, can you please stop cursing a lot? Usually from the little kids, which I don't gear my content towards. I gear my content towards adult for the simple fact that I'm a mature content creator. So I make content for people my age, a little bit younger. I'm 27. So a little bit younger will be like 18 up, 16, you know, like 16. I was saying some of the same shit as well. And it's like, that was a struggle back then, but recently I've cleaned it up a lot. and even my chat will know that we have a behave command. I don't know if you've seen it, and we pull it out when the chat's getting too rowdy, and it's like, as much point, behave, and it's like a textbook verse, like you're quoting a textbook, like line 4, sentence 5, behave. That's what it actually is. It's not it verbatim, but it's the general what it will look like if you pull it up in chat.
Okay. So who are you Oh, yeah. A pregnant pause. I was waiting to see if you were going to have more. So who are you as a content creator and how have you embraced that? Have you tuned people out? You know, did you stop listening to some of your favorite content creators? Like, what was the process that you went through to decide, you know what? This is who I am, right? I think it took me maybe 200 episodes of the podcast before I even got there. But how did you get there?
I had to, you know, try everything, see what was comfortable for me and what I could keep up with. Because, you know, some of the creators, I'm not even speaking to specific ones, the ones that I would watch or, you know, in the blogs, it's a persona sometimes. And it was like, I'm trying to make a persona for myself that it's already exhausting being me. Why am I trying to be someone else? And there was a quote that I used to tell myself, there are a million of this person, but only one of me. Or there's already some, it's already one person of this. So let me go ahead and be me. Basically saying, don't try to be someone else because that's them. That's what they're doing. Just do you. Just do you, boo. Sometimes it shifts because especially when you're thinking about why you're not doing as well as others and you're like, okay, well, let me try what someone else is trying and see if that works for me. You know, I think all content creators go through that. You know, we all want to succeed. And unfortunately, there's no formula to succeed. There's no right way to do anything, you know? Sometimes it just happens. Sometimes it takes longer for others. Sometimes, you know, it takes even longer. I mean, you say I got a mass following, but it took me 3 years to get that following. You know, it was a lot of behind the scenes struggles and grinding that I had to do to even get there. So,
can you touch on that or no?
No, I'd rather not.
Okay, that's fair. All right.
So, it shifts, you know, we're all human. It's going to happen, especially in a business like content creation or, media, a form of media where everything changes in an instant. You have to adapt, you know. One day you could be doing great and next minute something else is taking, you know, precedence. I can use TikTok. It's like, you know, one trend is doing well. And then after a day or two or someone went viral a day or two, it's like, okay, it's gone down. There's something else in this place and you're trying to like get there to continue being relevant.
All right, fair. We have to be everything, as you were mentioning when we started the conversation, right? You have to be the audio engineer. You have to be the producer, the executive producer, right? And you also have to be the public relations manager or even a publicist, right? So when you are being the publicist and the public relations manager of yourself, to the social media world who may misunderstand or not necessarily misunderstand you. How do you handle drama when it comes your way, if it has, the last couple of years?
I usually, it's been some instances where I would either say something and it, you know, gets taken out of proportion or I don't say something. And I have to catch myself sometimes, which I'm kind of bad at it, where someone will say something and then I'm automatically defensive of it. And then at a certain point, before it gets too out of control, I have to just cut it. So usually a lot of stuff actually bothers me and I have to be careful that I don't publicly say it. Cause again, like I'm human. Some things I just want to explode and say. Rarely I do it. Sometimes I write long Twitter threads and then I delete them mainly because there's so many typos. Twitter, can we please get that edit button? Thank you. And it's, you know, it's like, you just have to move on from it. It's like, okay, well, it's done, you know, you can't change the past. I mean, people have already screenshot it, shared it around, which you said, even if you've deleted it, you know. So it's, I try to stay out of it best as I can and just don't say anything at all.
Okay. And when you don't say anything at all, are you comfortable with that? Like over time? Because you want to share and you want to make sure that someone gets out of the situation, right? Let's say you're trying to help somebody. Let's just use an example. Can I build a scenario real quick?
Mm-hmm.
I think I got some time because I know what time we got to end this, right? Yes. So everyone in this particular group considered themselves a small streamer, right? Mm-hmm. And you're trying to educate them. This is a scenario, right? And you're trying to educate the individuals who believe that they're a small streamer, that they're not a small streamer, that they have so much more value than that, right? So rather than labeling themselves as a quote unquote small streamer, you're trying to educate them on not looking at themselves that way, right? Because you're worth more than that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now with your personality and the way you deliver content, as we've seen, because I've been in your streams and stuff like that, you may say in such a way that may offend somebody who's coming up, right? But you still want to deliver that information to them. So how do you balance the fact that I want to give it to you straight, right? But you can't be in your feelings about the fact that I'm trying to help you, right?
Right.
So how do you work through that, you know, in your, you know, meditation times when you're trying to help so many people, but yet you're struggling through that tug of war? How do you deal with that?
You just gotta talk to them straight up. I mean, and try to explain it even more. I'm a person who likes to explain. Like, if you keep telling me you don't understand, I'm going to try to explain it multiple ways so that way you can understand it. And also, make sure you talk to someone on the same level. Like, don't try to talk down to them at all, because I always remember, like, I started out at the, you know, at the bottom, zero subscribers, nobody knew who I was, trying to make content. And, you know, you remember how that was. And, you know, during college, I had people who I would say something, they would take it the wrong way. And you just have to pull them aside. I'm like, look, if you took it the wrong way, I apologize. That's the hardest thing about texting or DMing or anything related to nonverbal, non-oral communication. It's like, you can say one thing, but it gets lost in translation to someone else. And it's another big reason why I like doing stuff, you know, through voice instead of texting. And you just gotta explain it. So that way they understand. And hopefully they do at the end of the day. Hopefully they do. And if they don't, I mean, you can't force people, unfortunately. You can't force them. You know, I could drop as much, you know, information that I can, that I've learned, but I'm not an expert at all. Like, I can give you my experiences, what worked for me, what didn't. But at the end of the day, it's their choice to take it or leave it. And that's, you know, I can give you advice and you'd be like, thank you. And you can completely not use it. And I'll be like, okay, that's cool. That's your decision. That's your decision, you know?
Okay.
And it's the same for me. Like, you can give me something like, thank you. I appreciate it. Especially if I ask, it's like, okay. I value your input, but I'm going to do something else. And see how that works for me. I'm a very headstrong. Like, I like to do it my way first, fail, and then come back to the drawing board.
Any advice that you find yourself giving out lately? Because you just want to help people? Like maybe the last week, you've been thinking about something in particular that you're trying to reach individuals with? Self-talk time?
Usually the thing I always say, and I say this a lot and publicly, is don't come into content creation like you're going to hit it big immediately, because you're not. And any content creator can tell you that, like, even if they shot up, you know, popularity really fast, it's like, what did they give up? Like, what went on behind the scenes? So don't think it's going to be easy. Excuse me. Because it's not. I mean, I started from a little Inspiron 2012 laptop that died and crashed and burned to, you know, a really nice setup, which you can always see on my streams. And you may think, oh, wow, she has really nice stuff. You know, you may just found me like this day two, but it's like there's 3 years of work, sweat, and tears behind all of this. So, you know, if you really want to do it, but always have a backup. Don't quit your day job to come and do it. Do not do that. And, you know, you're going to have to really grind through it, because unfortunately now in 2020, it's oversaturated. You know, everyone's doing one thing. Everyone's doing the same thing. And there are millions of people trying to ingest content the fastest, and they will always see the algorithm push whoever is currently getting the most at one point. So you're like fighting the algorithm, you're fighting yourself, and you're fighting others, and you're gonna be down, and you have to, you know, pick yourself up and just keep going. But again, don't quit your day job to do this. If you're just starting out, have a good foundation. If you can make money off of content creation, then just alone, you know, take that plunge. But if you're still struggling, keep your day job. And also, you don't need the most expensive stuff. I'm still using a Blue Snowball that I got 3 years ago as my main microphone. One, because, you know, upgrading is a very, expensive thing. And two, I have other bills I need to pay. So, you know, I've upgraded slowly with the help of my community, and also what I make off of YouTube and Twitch to go, you know, reinvesting into myself. But I have other responsibilities that need to be paid as well. So, you know, I make sure I pay those bills first, and then I feed the content. I feed the beast that is content creation.
Hmm. Okay. So I intentionally left the Sims conversation, World of Warcraft conversation. I wanted to weave it in later, like now. So before World of Warcraft, before Sims, were there any other games that inspired you? How did you get into the gaming stuff? Were there titles and systems before that?
Yeah, I started gaming on the Nintendo 64. My mother is a gamer. She had all the consoles. She still has all the consoles in her room. Zelda, Mario. I've had a Xbox, the original Xbox. I played the original Halo. Then I bought an Xbox 360 for Halo 3 when it was only exclusive to Halo 3, only exclusive to Xbox 360. And I really didn't have a Wii. She has the Wii. Wii wasn't really my thing. I don't know. Maybe because I just like sitting on the couch with a controller. Really didn't like the movement too much. And I wasn't really a PC gamer at all. Some games, but mostly console. Like I believe that I mentioned Legend of Zelda, probably not. Legend of Zelda is one of my favorite titles. Halo again is one of my favorite titles. Shooters, actually, I really love shooters. Not much of a horror fan because I get scared easily. And of course, The Sims 2 back in the day, and you know, The Sims since then. You know, I really didn't think a game that I play would be something that I can bond over with thousands of people. I didn't even know modding existed until I started my channel, actually.
So your channel mostly, is it the modding of The Sims? Because I visited real quick. I saw a lot of Sim stuff. Are you Do you have any other things that you're considering for your channel, or is it specific for Sims?
It's specifically for Sims because that's what my audience enjoys, and mostly modding. There are some other videos sprinkled in there, mainly another Sims title or another game overall. However, that's what I'm known for. And that's what I locked myself into as a Sims 4 modder. So, I mean, I'm cool with that. When I first started out, I did the LPs, I did the cast challenges, I did everything your typical new Simmer content creator would do. And that's fine because at that point, you're trying to figure out what you like to do. Because once you get locked into that, once you get known for that, you're going to do it constantly. You don't want to get bored with it. Because then after a while, you're like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Okay, gotcha. So for those watching, thank you so much for taking the time to watch. I really do appreciate that. If you are enjoying the conversation, please consider liking. That always helps out. And we were planning for an hour, but it's not an hour. So I want to be very, very specific with that. We are probably going to end it in the next couple of minutes, to be fair. So Troy has the cushion that she needs to do whatever else that she has to do. And I appreciate her even taking the time to come here. So that's what's happening with that. So you talked about the conversations. Let's see what's up. Live production stuff happening. Let me see. I'm still audible, right?
Hello?
Yeah. I'm still audible, right?
Back, Sim? Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, sweet. Because I
thought you were asking them.
No, I just saw like a banner pop up on the screen. It was like, hey, you know, check your stuff. Live production stuff. It happens, right?
Yeah, so,
So you talked about the small streamer stuff and how they should look at themselves as far as self-worth is concerned. But the other side of it too is a lot of companies want metrics, right? They mm-hmm. want to know that you have a certain amount of whatever it is for them to offer you conversations, you know, with deals and things like that. So how is that conversation like for you as it relates to the fact that you do have a large audience and you could get deals because of the audience that you have? What does that conversation look like for individuals who are coming up, and how should they prepare themselves, you know, branding wise for that?
Well, I mean, you have to realize that unfortunately, not all the opportunities are given to you, especially those who are people of color and in the Black community. You will be surprised on how many, a few that I've having heard back from, you know, and you can have, you know, the good numbers, but at the end of the day, you can see that, especially in the gaming world, what companies or who people are pushing. And that sadly does need a change. I mean, if for those of you who don't know, I am a Black content creator. Light-skinned Black people do exist. Just want to, you know, throw that out there, because I do get that. I don't know if they're trolls or whatever, but it's like, are you Black? And it's like, yeah. Usually by this way I speak, or, you know, I do have the Black Girl Gamers tag on Twitch. That's how they probably find me, because they troll through there. And sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm already defeated before I even get a chance.
Yeah, how do you deal with that? Because I deal with it too. So how do you deal with that? Because we're you've been doing content for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you deal with that?
I mean, you can be down the door all you want to, but it's just best to be vocal about it. Always be vocal. Because, you know, people may come up, well, it's 2020. They may be shocked, like, is it still happening? Like, yes, it's still with, you know, different topics. And it's hard to, you know, you talk about in the DMs, you talk about it with your friends, your other content creators. And unfortunately, it's, you know, you feel like you're at the bottom of the barrel. You really can't do anything. So tackling it is I really don't know, to be honest.
That's fair.
I really, I can't give you an answer on that right now. That's because fair. a lot of us go through it. And again, just talking about it, like I am right now.
That's fair. So the last thing I have before we begin to wrap up, because I believe time is everything, right? Time is important.
Mm-hmm.
Other people's time is really important. So the you go to Publix one day, set a little scenario for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You head to Publix, and as you're leaving Publix, you see a version of yourself 10 years ago. And that person says, hey, Troy, can you give me some advice and what I'm going to face in the next 10 years, in the next 5 minutes? What do you tell yourself?
It gets better.
Hmm.
It gets better. Because right now I'm looking at all the struggles I did before then with content creation and where I am now. And it's like, it's better.
Hmm.
Yeah, if you don't learn from your struggles, you're doing it wrong. And I certainly learned through mine.
Okay.
Or I am still learning.
That's okay. You know what I felt there? That was there was a lot of weight in that. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. Okay. Which we've already mentioned that we're not going to go into the struggles part, right? Which is fine. So, why did I feel the weight of that?
Because, you know, it's personal.
Okay.
You know, and a lot of it stems from you thinking that you're a failure when things you don't succeed or it doesn't go the way you expect it to. And unfortunately, life does hit you. Things do happen. And, you know, you life moves on.
Mm.
You know, you just have to take it one day at a time. Like, sit down, calm yourself. I learned this from my boyfriend. I used to always just, you know, go off the deep end when things didn't, like, when things catch me off guard. And he pointed that out, and it's like, I need to really just center myself. And I learned that recently. And of course, you know, it's okay to cry. Just make sure you fix your mascara or your, whatever you're using, your collar after that, and go about your business. And again, life and time still moves on and things need to get done.
Hmm. Awesome. Okay. Last thing, and I'm going to let you go. One game, you can only take one game with you on this beautiful island. What game do you take? And why?
There's no Wi-Fi, right?
No.
Okay. Hey, the original Halo. I can kill the Covenant over and over again on each difficulty and listen to the soundtrack on the last sequel when you're in the truck, you're going down the tunnel, you're trying to make it off the ring, you know, you're with Master Chief and Cortana, you know, have you played the original Halo?
I love Halo.
Right.
But it's not about me. This is about you. I love it.
Well, I want to make sure that you understand what I'm talking about. Because some probably don't. You're like, Troy, what are you saying? Like,
I hated Halo when I first played it, and then I loved every Halo after. it was crazy. But yeah, one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's, it doesn't take internet connection. I didn't have the internet connected to my Xbox.
That grenade was too strong, though. Like,
it was. I used to blow myself up sometimes.
Yeah. So Halo, that's a good choice. Halo's good. Are you excited for the next ones coming up? The Infinite and all that stuff they're talking about now?
Not really.
Because...
I like, you know, my originals from Bungie. And once they switched over, it's like, okay. I haven't really played the recent ones. Halo 1, Halo 2, Halo 3. And
ODST? You played ODST?
No.
It's a like that's solitude game.
Yeah, no, I haven't. You know, I just like the originals, and you know that's what I grew up on. You know, unfortunately, I'm stuck in my ways.
No, that's awesome. No, thank you. I really do appreciate you taking the time to come out. And guys, we're beginning to wrap up. And where can they find you? I know most of your crew and fam came to show love, and that's always good when individuals love you and they come out to show support. And thank you for even supporting the stream. I appreciate that as well. So where can they find you and your content?
They can find me here on YouTube. Everything is It's Me Choi. That's another tip. If you're going to be in content creation, make your name the same on all platforms. So It's Me Choi on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, TikTok, Pinterest, wherever. Hey, Facebook. Even I mean, we're still using Facebook. Some of us are. You can find me there. But mostly in, you know, on Twitter. That's where I mostly spend majority of my time, and in my Discord.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for being here. Guys, we're going to switch the scene. Thank you for being here. Thank you for watching. Thank you for hanging out with us. And appreciate you guys, and have a good one. This episode is brought to you by Bluehost. Bluehost is a proven powerhouse in the website hosting industry. They offer exceptional customer service. They allow you to host multiple domains under /Bluehost, Bluehost, which is to get started for as low as $3.95 a month. This episode is also brought to you by Audible. Audible is the leading provider of spoken word entertainment and audiobooks, ranging from bestsellers to celebrity memoirs to news to business to self-development. Head over to thesharadio.info/audiobook to get your first audiobook free with a 30-day trial. This podcast also brought to you by ProXPN. ProXPN is a VPN service that secures your internet connection against eavesdropping, masks your location, and allows you to access your favorite sites no matter where you live or travel to. To get 20% off of the lifetime of your account, you can use the promo code SHORAM. Once again, that's SHORAM for 20% off of the lifetime of your account. So, episode 541 of the show Radio, we hung out with Troy, and Troy is amazing. Business mind, super intelligent, super smart, super intuitive. I gathered all that just by some observation, I guess, over the last couple of months, if you will. The theme and the tone of the conversation was a little bit different because even on the onset of the conversation, before even having the conversation, I understood what my boundaries were, right? Because as you listen and watch certain individuals, you can tell if you're paying attention, right? What the boundaries are and what that looks like in action, right? So I knew there's just certain things that I had to be very careful the way I phrased it with pretty much any interview. But I just knew that this one was different because I didn't have a lot going in, but I had a lot of observation going in, right? Some of the takeaways there is make sure that as you're going through struggles, have a great support system around you for that, because what you think is going to be one way may not be how certain things pan out. So I definitely grab that from that particular conversation. I think one of the things that I said as we were going through the conversation, I said, you know, I felt the weight of a particular matter that she mentioned, right? I think the example I was giving was something like, hey, you go to a local supermarket, you see a version of yourself from 10 years ago. What do you tell that individual, right? And I think her answer was to the effect of, I'm paraphrasing here, that it's going to get better, right? And I think that when she mentioned that, there was such a weight of experience that took place of whatever. You know, she specifically said that she wasn't going to go into, which I respected. There was such a weight there. So the only question that I had at the time, because you're really freestyling to some degree with some prior information that you have, right? For most interviews. So I'm thinking, all right, so what's my next question there? What's my next transition? If I had a transition point, even in that, you know, context of that's a short answer, and how do I make it, you know, How do I extend that? You know, I could say, tell me more, but tell me more would go against the boundary that was already set in the beginning of the conversation, right? So I said something to the effect of, which, you know, I believe it was appropriate, something like, well, okay, I felt the weight of that. That's what I felt, right? I felt weight in that answer. Why did I feel weight in that answer? So it's like, okay, how much can I get from that without you going against the boundaries that me going against the boundaries that you specifically set in the conversation as you start having it, right? So that was really great to navigate. And I think that one of the reasons why I love to do interviews so much is sometimes you never know how it's going to pan out, right? And I believe I have an end goal to tell the person thank you. And typically a lot of the conversations that I'm having with the individuals I am considering is to thank them for helping me, right? She helped me by introducing me to a new audience prior to this conversation. I just want to tell, hey, you know, I know this is a video camera, from video camera to video camera. I just wanted to personally thank you for coming on, right? For helping me, right? Throughout my content creation journey, right? And that's what she has done. And I appreciate her for that. So that's all I have, which is longer than usual for a final thoughts after an interview. Yeah, that's longer than usual. But yeah, so that was very interesting conversation and a great journey. And I knew, right? So I usually ask the guest that, I guess I have more on this. I usually ask the guest, these are my observations, and these are my perception. Sometimes I do it live, and sometimes I do it just before the conversation. And I'll say something like, am I wrong? Am I off? Right? Because on one hand, you know, your content could be labeled as ratchet content, but I see a great business mind behind this content that's presented, right? Am I wrong? And I was not wrong, right? Because she's done studies, she's done media training to some degree, she understands how production works. She's built a super large audience on YouTube. I was not wrong, and it was refreshing for me, right? So that's it. Episode 541. I hope you enjoyed that. And until next time, take care.